Welcome to CE on ReachMD. This activity, titled Resectable Head and Neck Cancer, a team-based approach to perioperative immunotherapy, is provided by Total CME. Prior to beginning the activity, please review the faculty and commercial support disclosure statements, as well as the learning objectives.
The treatment landscape for locally advanced head and neck cancer is changing, and we want to share with you today insight on how we can integrate immunotherapy into the practice and how we can optimize multidisciplinary care. I'm Dr. Robert Haddad from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. I am a medical oncologist.
And I'm Dr. Ravi Bluri. I'm head neck surgeon at the Brigham Dana-Farber.
And I'm Dr. Nancy Lee, head and neck radiation oncologist at the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York.
Yeah, thank you both. Dr. Lee, can you please start today's discussion by reviewing unmet need in resectable squamous cell carcinoma of the head and neck?
Yes, today we still face a significant problem managing patients who have resectable, locally, regionally advanced head and neck cancer. Despite best effort after surgery, followed by post-op radiation with or without chemotherapy, the relapse rate is still very high, and this has not changed for the past several decades. Patients experience significant acute and late effects. These issues remain a significant challenge for this patient population. As a field, we try different approaches, but the relapse rate remains around 50%. We don't have a non-surgical option for these patients, especially when it comes to a large oral cavity cancer, as we know that definitive chemo radiation is inferior to surgery followed by postoperative radiation therapy. So we were, as a field, stuck for many decades. We could not advance our treatment. And this is why KEYNOTE-689 is very exciting to me, where we saw the benefits enhancing tumor response rate, prolonged event-free survival with the additional two cycles of preoperative pembrolizumab, as well as concurrent pembrolizumab followed by adjuvant pembrolizumab. This trial leveraged the synergistic effect of RT-induced immunogenic cell death and immune checkpoint inhibition-mediated immune activation.
Yeah, so obviously we're talking about patients here who are undergoing surgical resection. So the starting point in this conversation is that really we're talking about patients who are determined to be a surgical candidate. And that's, when you look at it globally, that's really the vast majority of patients globally are patients who are going to be treated with surgery. So the importance of KEYNOTE-689, which is a randomized phase 3 trial that now sets a new standard of how we treat and how we manage these patients. In this trial, immunotherapy was given as the first intervention. Once the patient is determined to be a surgical candidate, they will proceed to receive neoadjuvant immunotherapy. The drug used in this trial is pembrolizumab for two cycles. Then the patient undergoes surgical resection, and this is followed by the standard of care for that patient. So it would be radiation and chemotherapy or radiation alone based on the final pathology, and then immunotherapy pembrolizumab was added. So to be eligible for this trial, you need to have a patient who have surgery as the primary treatment modality. The treatment met the primary endpoint of improvement in event-free survival for the ITT patient population, for the CPS 10 or more patient population, or for the CPS 1 or more patient population. One of the major endpoints of this trial is the MPR, the major pathological response, which is less than 10% of viable squamous cell carcinoma in the surgical specimen, both lymph nodes and primary site. This is an important endpoint. That point was around 14% in the CPS 10 or more patient population. So not only this trial showed an improvement in the primary endpoint of event-free survival, we were also able to show a significant degree of MPR in those patients. So we look at this intervention really from the perspective of a vaccination for the patient. You're really priming the immune system before you do the surgery, before the lymph nodes are touched, before the primary tumor is removed, before the radiation is delivered. And that's the importance of this intervention. I will contrast that intervention with what was recently presented, what is known as the NEVO post-op trial, the pure adjuvant trial. In that trial, patient had surgery first. And if they had high-risk features, they were randomized to chemo radiation with nivolumab or chemo radiation alone. The drug used was cisplatinum also, like we did in KEYNOTE-689. But the whole population of NEVO post-op is a subset of KEYNOTE-689. Because remember, in KEYNOTE-689, we did include those patients with high-risk features. They received chemo radiation pembro. But what was missed in the NEVO post-op trial is all those intermediate patients who are receiving radiation after surgery. And those patients seem to derive a great benefit from the addition of pembrolizumab to the treatment. So that's really a big contrast between NEVO post-op and between KEYNOTE-689. As you all know, KEYNOTE-689 led to FDA approval of pembrolizumab in resectable head and neck cancer for patients with a CPS of one or more. That FDA approval came in June of 2025. This is really important work now because this builds on essentially two decades of trials where we have been trying to incorporate immunotherapy into the curative treatment of head and neck cancer. So the first trial I was part on with Dr. Lee actually on this call was the avelumab phase 3 trial known as the Javelin trial, where we added avelumab to chemo radiation, compared that to chemo radiation, and then building on the Javelin trial, we saw the presentation of KEYNOTE-412, which was a similar trial where also pembrolizumab was added to chemo radiation, the INVOKE phase 3 trial, which was a large randomized phase 3 trial where we gave atezolizumab after the curative therapy in a randomized fashion. So really a massive investment in the past 10 to 15 years in adding immunotherapy to the curative treatment of head and neck cancer, but no benefit up until the KEYNOTE-689, which fortunately is a positive trial and allow patients to receive a new adjuvant intervention for patients being treated with surgical resection. But also biologically, it makes sense to think about a neoadjuvant intervention where you are intervening before surgery. And because of the model that we use in 689, it becomes extremely important that the multi-D clinic is involved early on, that the surgery is not happening before the patient has the opportunity to meet with this medical oncologist and radiation oncologist to discuss a treatment package that will include all these modalities. And taking up on that, I'm going to actually ask Dr. Opaluri, how can he envision we can optimize this perioperative immune checkpoint inhibitors for patients with head and neck cancer going to surgical resection?
Yeah, I think the fundamental piece that we'll talk through is the multidisciplinary collaboration. First, before I get into that, I really want to say that I also want to express my excitement about this first sort of change to the potential surgical paradigm for head and neck cancer patients in a couple of decades. So with that point, though, that comes up the consideration of how do we make this effective for patients? As many of us know here, that the vast majority of these patients present to surgeons up front, whether it's head and neck surgeons or oral maxillofacial surgeons. So it's really critical to have this succeed, to have that initial touch point to be also checking the box to move this forward to integrate the multidisciplinary piece. So in this spectrum, ultimately, with the KEYNOTE-689 regimen, the involvement of medical oncology is going to be critical up front. So I think with any locally advanced head and neck cancer patient, stage 3 or 4, that is planned for surgery or that would be a surgical candidate, I think integrating the medical oncologist in particular up front, and obviously the radiation oncologist also, is going to be a key aspect of this. So our surgeons need to really embrace this to take advantage of the potential impact of this. With respect to the concerns around delaying surgery, I've heard this for many years, this question from surgeons about, is this approach going to impact my surgery or what I can offer as a curative approach to patients? What's really reassuring about this is on a couple of different levels. First of all, what KEYNOTE-689 showed us is that the immune-related adverse events are really minimal in this setting. Now, there certainly are patients who may have some issues, and that's where collaborating with our medical oncologists up front is also a key piece because they can help us manage these. Many of the adverse events that were seen in 689 were related to hypothyroidism, which did not necessarily affect completing surgical ablation. In particular, only one out of 322 patients in the pembrolizumab standard care arm was found to be unresectable from a surgical standpoint. So I think that's a big piece to consider. I think an additional consideration is when the biopsy is done, is the surgeon should think about requesting a CPS score, which helps facilitate this moving this forward also. Ultimately, I would say that our own experiences have been very positive with this. The key approach that I mentioned earlier is that for the first time here, we've developed an approach to consider in a subset of patients to de-intensify treatment. The other big question that I get asked is from a surgeon's perspective is, do we modify our surgery? In our original design, we maintained that we would resect to the original margins. But as all surgeons know, we make intraoperative decisions on what we see. The key effect we're aiming for here is a vaccination piece that Dr. Haddad mentioned. Are there going to be situations where we potentially going to modify surgery? And again, it will depend on the surgeon as they see the tumor intraoperatively, make a decision based on that. The other final piece I would say, Dr. Haddad, here is that from a surgeon's perspective, there's not been any signal of surgical morbidity or mortality related to the neoadjuvant immune checkpoint inhibitor. Again, reassuring it for surgeons to adopt this regimen.
Yeah, thank you, Ravi. This is great. Dr. Lee, from a radiation oncologist, obviously these patients are going to all receive radiation follow-up because this is stage 3 and stage 4. Can you give us your perspective as a radiation oncologist who's now going to treat patients with radiation and immunotherapy at the same time?
Yes, thank you. And just like Dr. Haddad, Dr. Opalari stated, the importance of multidisciplinary team approach, even though radiation oncology comes after surgery, but it's always good to involve them early on because you can imagine radiation oncology is about our field design. How big is our field? What do we need to target? It's a critical piece when we design the field to have very close connection and collaboration with our surgeon. And given that the radiation field design is quite large for these locally regionally advanced resectable head and neck cancer, not only do we have to cover the post-operative bed, but also bilateral necks, we can really not, it's not ideal to give above a 2 gray dose per day, so we don't run into toxicity issue. And now, standardly, for high-risk patients, those with positive margin ECE, we have been giving chemotherapy, high-dose cisplatin, or weekly. And then you can imagine patients have substantial grade 2, 3 mucositis, dyscrugia, xerostomia is quite substantial. And what's exciting about this trial, and Dr. Opalari stated earlier, and Dr. Haddad as well, is that there is an experimental arm, there is a portion of patient is significantly did not need to have postoperative chemo radiation, but rather they're downstage to receive radiation only. And with the addition of pembrolizumab concurrently, it's very easy to give. It's much easier than high dose cisplatin. So the toxicity that patient experience is tremendously less. You can look at the median dose of RT between the experimental arm and the standard arm is about 6 gray. And you may say 6 gray is not a big deal, but it is actually when we are giving high doses of radiation. The fact that we can downstage, meaning less need of having chemotherapy, which means less dose of radiation as well, because we don't have to deal with the positive margin or extra capsule extension, then that is really a tremendous benefit that our patients can receive. So in summary, from a radiation oncologist, cannot overly emphasize the importance of working together as a team, both with the surgeon and the med onc surgeon, because we need to know our target, our field design, and then keeping the standard 2 gray dose per fraction, which is important because as we increase the dose per fraction, we may have some unwarranted late effect. And that's not what we want to see for this group of patients, especially we're going to prolong their survival.
Thank you, Nancy. This is great. This has certainly been a fascinating conversation with two really world-renowned experts in head and neck cancer treatment. And essentially, the take-home message here, if you have a patient with a stage 3 or stage 4 head and neck cancer, where surgery is going to be the primary treatment modality, think of that patient as an ideal patient for a neoadjuvant intervention. Get your multi-D clinic on board early on. Talk to your medical oncologist and to your radiation oncologist, so that an opportunity is not missed for that patient to receive a neoadjuvant intervention before their operation.
I think the final take-home message really is that, first of all, this is a really exciting time for head and neck cancer patients with the results of KEYNOTE-689. But the key thing to make this successful is a multidisciplinary approach to optimize patient selection, the toxicity potential management, and the treatment sequencing.
And I echo what Dr. Opalari said. It's very exciting because for the first time, we see a synergistic effect of radiation with immune checkpoint inhibition in the post-operative setting, enhancing tumor control and preserving function. And then I cannot emphasize enough, as our two prior speakers did, that we need to work together as a multidisciplinary team. Then we can really together benefit our patients.
This is great. That's all the time we have today, unfortunately. And I want to thank our audience for listening in. And thank you, Drs. Opaluri and Dr. Lee, for joining me and for sharing all your valuable insight and expertise today. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to CE on ReachMD. This activity is provided by Total CME. To receive your free CE credit or to download this activity, go to reachmd.com/CME. Thank you for listening.